My title is today, We Have a Kind King. We have a kind king. One of the important attributes of our God is that he is kind. And we're going to talk about that and talk about our story with Christ, who is kind to us. Jeremiah 52, I love this story. And every year, or every other year, I love to preach on it and really draw from it because the Lord spoke to me so powerfully years ago, personally, from this chapter. Jeremiah 52, verse 31, it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, the 25th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, the king of Babylon and the founder of Fox News, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and brought him out of prison. Before I go on, just a couple of things. If that offends you, please write Pastor Candace. A couple of things. This young man, Jehoiachin now, he wasn't old yet, but he had spent the majority of his life in the wrong place. Sometimes it's not how intense or difficult something is. That's the problem. It's how long it lasts. And when you go through something for 37 years, it redefines who you are. And so we're introduced to this king, not by his calling, but by his prison, but by his suffering. 37 years a prisoner. And he would have been a boy king taken captive by other people's sin, generational sin before him, thrown into prison. His name means Yahweh will establish, God will establish. And I just want to say this, no matter where you are today, no matter what it looks like in your story today, God's going to finish the work he's begun in you. Philippians 1:6 says, Paul said this, I'm confident of this very thing, that he that has begun a good work in you is going to finish it. Hebrews 12 says that Jesus is the author, the beginner, the originator, and the finisher, completer of our faith. Our God's a good finisher. And even if you've been in the wrong place for 37 years, you're about to break out. Even if you've been in a season of heartache and hardship, and it's had an effect on you, maybe even causing the redefinition of your identity, God's breaking you out of it. We're in a prison break season in Jesus' name. And so this prisoner was set free. The king came in, lifted his head. And then verse 32 says, the king of Babylon spoke kindly to him and gave him a more prominent seat than those other kings who were with him in Babylon. So consequently, Jehoiachin changed from his prison garments. He ate bread regularly before the king all the days of his life. As for his provision, his needs, there was a regular ration given him by the king of Babylon, a portion for each day until the day of his death, all the days of his life. Father, thank you for your word. Anoint your word, anoint your servant, anoint your people. Let there be a prison break today. For every person that hears the sound of my voice declaring your word in Jesus' name. Just some points, let me go through them. Number one, Jesus is the lifter of our heads. And this king walked into, from his exalted palace, Babylon, the greatest, most influential power in the world. This king walked down from his throne, from his courtyard, from his greatness. He walked down. Dungeons in antiquity were almost always underground. A lot of them were built out of old wells. And so they would use the underground nature of things to be a kind of a natural prison. So he goes from a high place, he walks all the way down, and he finds this king. And this king had been so oppressed and so mistreated, so rejected, so shame-filled, that his face, his head would have reflected where his heart was, looking down. And Jehoiachin walked in and said, chin up, friend. David said this to us in Psalm 3, a beautiful psalm, when he said, Lord, how are they increased that have troubled me? Many are they that have risen up against me. Many of them that say of my soul, there is no help for you in God. It's amazing that we have people that are silent until we're in trouble. You with me? I have friends on my Facebook page that I don't hear about till 5 years until I'm going through something hard. They pop up and condemn me or say something hurtful. And they go, man, these people are like hiding in the bushes, jumping out. And David said, they're trying to mock my prophetic destiny by saying, where's your God now? Come on, maiden, where's your God now? And David said, I'm going through tough times, and then I'm going through hypercriticism and shameful accusation simultaneously. But he said this, but you, Lord, are a shield for me. My glory, I love this next sentence, and the lifter of my head. You know, if you've raised kids, it actually happens when a child will be dejected about something. And they'll be dejected most of the time about something that overall isn't that important, but to the child is important. And so their head will be down. And so you actually do the chin up. My wife was just singing to me a chin up song from Charlotte's Web. And I asked her to sing it. She's not obeying me. You know, the Bible says, obey your husbands in the Lord. She sometimes does it. Just kidding. She's awesome. I'm in trouble for no reason right now. I'm creating my own trouble. And you say, hey, chin up. It's going to be okay. Did you know the stuff that seems big to us is never big to God? That there is a divine perspective, a omniscient perspective that says, I know, Mikey, that's a big thing to you right now, but chin up, I'm with you. Oh. He says in the next verse, it's beautiful, he said, I cried out to the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of his holy hill. I laid down to sleep and I awakened and the Lord sustained me. Here's what David said. I finally could sleep without anxiety and fear keeping me awake. When I gave my burdens to God, God gave sleep to me. I just want to prophesy to anyone right now who's having trouble sleeping. I declare that you're going to lay down and have sweet sleep. And God's going to help you. While you're sleeping, your God's fighting for you. He's on your side. He's watching over you. He's with you. Of course, I talk about this a lot. I have the anointing to sleep on airplanes. A couple of weeks ago, we went to visit our kids in Orange County for a couple of days. It's just like a 45-minute flight. I fell asleep. And my wife's like, you can't even stay awake 45 minutes? I said, I'm anointed to sleep on airplanes. I don't know what to say. It's a gift from God. The word lifted that's used in Jeremiah 52 is nakah. It's a great Hebrew word that means to accept, to advance, to arise, to forgive, to have favor, to increase, to help, to pardon, to reward. All of these things, it's as if God says, the way that I will lift you will be appropriate to what you're going through. I'll forgive your sins and lift your heart. I will lift you from pain. I will lift you from shame. I will lift you from accusation. I will lift you from whatever burden is trying to depress you. One of the great verses that is a beautiful promise to us is in Isaiah 60, when the Bible says, arise and shine, your light has come. You know, Jesus adopted one of his titles as the light of the world. Our light is Jesus, and he has come. Arise and shine, your Jesus has come. And the glory of God will be risen upon you. Darkness cover the earth, intense, gross darkness to people, but the Lord shall arise upon you. God says to people that are in a depressed state, it's time to get up. I break the power of depression over your life. I break the power of the continuation of discouragement, of anxiety, of phobias, and fear. And I declare it's your time to get up, my friend, that God's lifting your heart. I learned early in life, as my wife can attest, I don't gossip about people. I don't speak negatively. And so the Lord harnessed me early to put a government on my lap, my words, so he could trust me with authority in those words. But one thing I've never been able to do is train my face. I don't need a mood ring, I have a face. So I have a face that's not good about hiding stuff. So it's amazing, even when I don't say stuff, I get in trouble with the Holy Ghost and Mary. And she'll elbow me, she'll say, "You're making a bad face." I said, "I didn't even say anything." She said, "Your face says it all." So I'm still working on my face, And thank you, Holy Ghost and Mary, for helping me. Point number two, when the king came down and lifted Jehoiachin's face, he said, "It's a new day." And he brought him out of the prison to the palace. Here's my second point. Jesus has paid the price to free us from every prison of this world. Anything that controls you has usurped the authority of the lordship of Jesus over your life and is wrong, inappropriate, and you're supposed to overcome it. Amen. And there's a lot of things that try to control us. There's a lot of voices and a lot of circumstances. In his first sermon, Jesus, as Luke gave record of it, here's what Jesus said to us in Luke chapter 4, quoting from Isaiah 61. He said this, "The Spirit of the Lord's upon me. I'm anointed by the Holy Spirit. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Come on, that's someone right now. God's healing someone's broken heart right now. He did it for me, he'll do it for you. "He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable jubilee year of the Lord." Three of the references of these great seven things that God said that he's given us in Christ have to do with getting out of prison, captives coming out, the year of bondage being over. And I just want to say to you, it's time for your prison break. It's time for your prison break. It's time for your prison break. It doesn't matter. There's no prison as oppressive as fear. If you've been living in fear, you're breaking out. You're breaking out. God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. No matter what the prison is, Jesus has the keys to get you out. He is so powerful. Listen, he is so powerful that there's no prison cell power enough to keep him from reaching you and to keep him from bringing you out. It doesn't matter what it is. Watch this next season. People that have been mute their whole lives, people with severe mental brain injuries, people with schizophrenia, people with the worst case possible situations of any kind of psychosis, any kind of diagnosed disease or any kind of infirmity are going to be healed. People with the worst kinds of physical infirmities are going to be healed. We're about to see the greatest explosion of healing the world's ever seen, as far as in a numerical way. God's going to do it. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, "You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen people, that you might show forth the virtues, the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You are a child of the light, 1 Thessalonians 5 says. We're not children of darkness, we're children of light. And so we have authority to leave darkness anytime we choose. Now, here's what the Lord had to help me. Because many Christians are in prison, not because Christ hasn't set them free, but because they haven't left the prison cell. And so I found out, God healed me from depression, serious clinical manic depression, not by sending an angel. Would have been nice. "You're healed, Michael." "Thank you." Not by some spectacular moment, but by rewiring my thoughts. And when I broke through in my mind, I broke through in my life. And I just want to say this, God needs our cooperation for our liberation. We have to cooperate by believing, by participating in faith in the promises of God. Third point, the king who's brought him out of prison, who's lifted his head, begins now a regiment of regular therapy with words. With words. The kind words of our great Jesus heals our souls. The kind words of Jesus heal our soul. You know, kindness is becoming a rarity in our culture, but it should be normal in the kingdom. The Bible talks frequently about the kindness of God. Psalm 31 says, He has shown me His marvelous kindness. Psalm 117, the merciful kindness of God toward us is great. Over and over, David bragged and praised God for His incredible kindness to him and to his people, because we serve a God who is by nature a kind God. Man, I just got a word for you. God's not mad at you. God's in love with you. God's on your side. And He wants you to know how loved you are. He wants you to know how important you are to Him. There's these people in the front row over here, all of them sitting in the front row. I love them because they're family. There's literally, when I have my grandkids, I literally say to them, welcome to my house, no rules. Whatever your dad said you can't do there, you can do here. Sorry, Matthew. But there's literally nothing they can do to make me unplug my love. It's so good to walk with God and not be afraid that He's going to unlove me because of one stupid thing I do. I'm so glad God took into account my stupidity before He called me. I knew Maiden would do some stuff there. It's okay. He still called. You with me? He knew who I was and what I was capable of, and He still called me, loved me, chose me. The same with you. You are called, loved, chosen by God for incredible things in this world, in your lifetime, my friend. The best is yet to come. Oh God, let Your kindness heal our souls in Christ's name. And let us know, God, how powerful acts of kindness can be. God's not mad at you. He's not at war with you. He's not against you. He's not your enemy. God's your friend. God's your friend. Kindness heals. And God's been kind to us. The fourth point is this. The king said to Jehoiachin, I have a seat for you among, there would have been a large banquet room where they shared meals. In this banquet room would be all kinds of kings from all across the empire of Babylon. And they would be sitting at tables kind of in a pier fashion. But there would be one or two elevated tables. And in these elevated tables, the king of kings would sit. The most important kings in the room would sit. And here's what the king said to Jehoiachin. I'm going to sit you at the elevated table. I'm not going to give you favor. I'm going to give you unusual favor. I'm going to lift you up. Thank you, Jesus. Here's what the Bible says about us. But God, Ephesians 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, that's who God is, because of the great love that He's loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace we've been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. The Bible goes on to say in verse 10, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. So, did you know that that's not just kind of a theological, beautiful, promise, oh, I'm sitting. No, right now, in the mind of God, you're sitting beside Christ. You have an exalted place. Eventually, we will be with heaven, and we will have those places in, I think, probably in a way that's lived out. But right now, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I'm seated with Christ. What does that mean, Pastor? Well, it means this. When Jesus saved me, He gave me the same righteousness that He possesses. And it kept lifting me. And the more I believe in it, and the more I renew my mind, the more, the higher the elevation of my faith goes, and the higher the elevation of my identity goes, or the revelation of my identity in Christ, which is so good. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, brethren, verse 1, by the mercies of God, to give your bodies, yield your bodies, present your bodies to God, a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service, holy and without blemish. The least we can do is give God, like Pastor Tyler said beautifully, God wants us, we give our lives to God. And verse 2 says, here's how God gets control of your life. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove, test, know, and experience what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So the more I renew my mind, the more of the kingdom of God I experience. I cannot experience more of the kingdom than what I've renewed my mind with. So when I come into alignment and agreement in my thoughts with what God says in His Word about life and about Him and about my life, then I experience the dynamic and the promise, the fulfillment, and the potential of the kingdom of God. That's nothing but good news. Amen? That's nothing but wonderful news for every believer. We are His workmanship, as Paul said in verse 10. Workmanship is poema, the Greek word. It means a one-of-a-kind, original masterpiece created by a master artist. Have you ever thought of yourself as a masterpiece? Have you ever thought of yourself, you might think of yourself as a one-of-a-kind in a negative way, but God sees you in a positive way. There'll never be another you. No one's fingerprints, no one's DNA, no one's voice range, no one's features. You are a one-of-a-kind masterpiece. God made you what He wanted you to be. And especially in Christ, that masterpiece is revealed through the righteous gift of His justification in our lives as believers. Last point. So the king does all these four things for Jehoiachin. He lifts his head. He brings him out of prison. He speaks kindly to him. He gives him a prominent seat. And then it was up to Jehoiachin then to respond to the invitation of love to take action. My fourth point is this. For all of us, my fifth point is this. Take off your prison garments. Jesus is a brand new wardrobe for you to wear. So the Bible says, and Jehoiachin changed out of his prison garments and put on palace garments or princely garments. He did that. The king of Babylon didn't do it for him. He did that. Eventually, you have to be the person who takes responsibility for your identity and behavior. Yes. You have to be the person. Yes. And when you take responsibility and recognize, you know what, I am who Jesus says I am. Not who my family or my past or the devil or the world says I am. I am who God says I am. I am that person in Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if anyone be in Christ, they are a new creation. One translation says a brand new species of life. Old things passed away, behold, all things are new and of God. If anyone is in Christ, what? They get a brand new life. Everything's new. You with me? You're not a sinner God's trying to make good. You with me? Christianity is not trying to empower sinners to be good. Christianity is God resurrecting dead people and giving them new life. I'm not a sinner trying to work my way to heaven. I'm a newborn child of God with a brand new heavenly DNA. In verse 21 of this chapter says, He made him, the Father made the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus took my place. Jesus became what I was, took my sin at the cross. And then, because He conquered by innocence and by perfect holiness, He conquered my sin, then He gave me the gift of righteousness. When God looks at Michael Maiden, He sees me wearing the same righteous robe that Jesus wears. It's not based on my behavior, it's based on the victory of the cross. Now I want my behavior or my sanctification or my holiness to match my righteousness, and that's where we all grow in behavior. But my behavior is not a determination of my righteousness. You can't get more righteous than you are right now. You have perfect righteousness from Christ. You can get more holy. You can get more sanctified. But the gift of righteousness, what does it mean? A new identity. A new identity. So this is important because this last point I want to really push through, and then we're all done, about our identity as the sons and daughters of God, who God has made us to be and what God's called us to do. The Bible likens us, our journey, as looking into a mirror, the scriptures and the promises of God being that mirror. In James and in 2 Corinthians, it says, so 2 Corinthians 3 says this, that we all with unveiled face looking into a mirror at the glory of God are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. So what does that mean? Well, the Bible shows me in a mirror, it shows me who God's made me to be in Jesus. So when I look at it, revelation comes about who I am. It works when that revelation translates into behavior, into self-image identity, that I believe that. Do you believe you're loved? You should, because you are loved. Do you believe you're saved? There are some people that have been saved 475 times. Because every time they sin, they run to the altar thinking that that sin or that bad week somehow disabled their salvation. But no, your spirit got as saved as it could be. Now we're renewing our minds, transforming our souls, but we're saved by the work of Christ in our spirit. Okay, some points and I'm all done. The most important thing in life is what you believe about God. Eternity hinges on who you say Jesus is. But here's what I add. The second most important thing in life is what you believe about yourself. It's impossible to see life right when you see yourself wrong. Remember what they said? We were in our eyes grasshoppers. So are we in their eyes. So the way you see yourself determines the way you see everything else. The Bible is a book of identity, not behavior. The Bible is not a list of rules. It shows us what righteousness looks like lived out. But the Bible, especially New Testament, is here's who you are. Amen. And when you get the who-ing, it always fixes the doing. When we ask people to change their behavior before they've changed their hearts, all we do is afflict them with more religious bondage. Yeah. So the Bible, God's a heart God. The Bible's a transformational book showing us what we have. Let me say these things. I got excited when I was writing this out. You are who God says you are. Say that with me. I am who God says I am. Okay, so here's just some bullet points. You're forgiven, redeemed. You are so loved. You're chosen. You're called. You're anointed. You're highly favored. Say that, highly favored. You're more than a conqueror. You're accepted in the beloved. You've been made righteous. You're free, you're healed, you're blessed. You're kings and priests. You're the bride of Christ. You're the body of Christ. You're the army of God. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're ambassadors for Christ. You're delivered. You're an overcomer. You're his masterpiece. You're saved. You're sanctified. You're glorified. You're triumphant. You're justified and victorious. No matter where life takes you, Jesus will always find you. That king came down from his royal privilege into the darkest point of that dungeon or prison, and he found a forgotten man and brought him out. No matter where life takes you, Jesus will always find you. Anything that's controlling, oppressing, or restricting you, binding you, is not from God. And Jesus came to set you free from that lying bondage. There are so many different prisons in this world that people live in, but Jesus has the master key to open every door and set every prisoner free. Fear is a horrible, oppressive prison that God doesn't want any person to live in. You are not forgotten. You are not forsaken. Our God is kind. He speaks to his children in kindness and love. Truth spoken without love always becomes an error. When truth is spoken with a tone of kindness, it represents the heart of God, even when it's difficult truth. God is love. God is kind. Love is kind. Kindness heals. Kind people are God's kind of people. I said this is an unkind statement, but it's right at the borderline. If you can't be kind, please be quiet. Oh, Pastor, then I'll never talk. God will help you. Hush until you're healed. Everyone is hurting, stressed out, under pressure, or fighting a battle somewhere in their life. Don't contribute to people's pain by being unkind. God, I've been in so many crazy circumstances over the years, and I have found that God has kind things to say to people that it would not be my first choice to be kind to. Remember when he first came to church here 12, 13 years ago, Brian Head Welsh, and he came in, and he had blonde dreadlocks, and he had tattoos on his face and his knuckles, and I'm trying to preach, and he's like scaring me. You know, and so the Lord says, I want you to prophesy to that man with the young man with the dreadlocks. And God gives me all these kind things. And I said, are you sure? I don't know if you've been paying attention, but he looks kind of scary. So I come down the stage and I prophesy he's going to change the world, touch millions of people. God's so proud of him. I go back and I finish my message. And the whole time I finish my message, I go, my mind's saying, how could you say those things? So after church is over, I don't know what's math, a bunch of kids run up to me. Hey, remember that guy you prophesied to? Yeah, that's Brian Head Welsh. He's from corn. Yeah. And I said, the vegetable or fruit? There's a war on what corn is. And they said, no, the band. So I hadn't heard of them, so I had to Google, you know, corn and Brian Welsh. It was like billions of things. And now he just talked to me the other day, he's doing everything was prophesied to him 12, 13 years, whenever it was. He's doing all those things, touching a million people of Christ. And here's my point. Don't let your judgment replace God's kindness. Now, you have to be a good enough Christian that you can be kind to people that believe and vote differently than you.
Amen.
Thank you, front row. Because there will be a day after the election. Someone's going to win. Someone's going to lose. And it's not good to be permanently angry. I said this. It is still true. It's so good to have an enemies list with no one on it but the devil. True. Would you just take a moment and would you thank God that he is kind towards you? Come on. This undeserved, unmerited, unconditional kindness. Man, on your worst day, he's kind. When you need him the most, he's kind. When you're hurting the greatest, he's so kind. Thank you, God, for that kindness. Fill us with the revelation of your kindness to us, and then fill us with the anointing to be kind to others. You don't have to agree with people. Kindness doesn't mean you accept wrong behavior. It means that you don't make enemies of people that are behaving wrong. You represent God's heart. Thank you, God, for kindness. And I pray, Lord, for anyone that's hurting, going through a storm, a struggle, a mountainous difficulty, let them experience your kindness. Overwhelm them with your kindness and heal their hearts. Thank you for listening today. It was an honor to talk to you.